In Jesus' name, amen. Let me repeat those verses for you very briefly. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when in the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is." Weather forecasting in Israel, even today, is a relatively simple thing. Because of the positioning of the country, they know that when cold air rises over the Mediterranean and comes in, it rises because of the hills and it does rain. It's predictable. When the wind is from the south and comes in over that hot Negev desert, they know that it's going to be hot, and it is. Jesus is saying to these people, you look at these signs of the weather and correctly predict what the weather is going to be. Why is it that you can't use the same logic when you look at me? You read the scriptures. You hear what the prophets have had to say about the coming Messiah. You see the things that I do. The blind see. The deaf hear. You see these things happening, and yet you don't understand. Even though you have good reasoning power when it comes to the weather, you don't have good reasoning power when it comes to these more important things. But then, of course, Jesus knew, and you and I need to know, that there is a blindness of spirit in many people which keeps them from seeing the truth. And he also knew, and you and I need to know, that you will not convince a spiritually blind person by presenting to them a lot of facts. Only the Spirit of God can reach them. In this world that we live in, there are very many spiritually blind people. Jesus was talking to some at this moment in his ministry. You know some. When you get out in the parish, and those of you that have been there already know that when you get into the parish, you will find many spiritually blind people sitting in the pews. They're not just outside of the church. I remember one in particular in my parish out in California. A man that in the 6 years I was in that parish came to church only once. Now, this guy was a real challenge for me. I did everything I could to convince this man and his wife that they ought to attend church. But they had so many excuses, so many problems coming up all the time. And finally, the elders and I took an action to remove this man, whose name was Bruce, from our roles as a member of the church. Now, many people in the church thought that was a very harsh thing to do. And especially because 2 weeks after that occurred, the man died of a heart attack. Now, in answer to that, when I spoke to those people, I had to say to them, but I did everything I could. The elders did everything they could to convince the man that he ought to come to church and participate. And then it dawned on me that all we had done for 6 years with that man was present facts. We told him why he should be in church. There were a lot of very good reasons why Bruce should have been in church. We presented a lot of facts, but none of them convinced him. You see, people with a blindness of spirit can't be convinced by presenting facts. These hypocrites that Jesus spoke to knew the facts. They knew what the scriptures said, probably knew them very well. They knew what he had done in his ministry among them. Some of them had probably actually seen miracles performed. But it did not change their hearts. This man in my parish knew the facts. He knew all the good reasons why he should be in church, but none of those facts convinced him. These so-called people, those people that call themselves pro-choice in our world today, they all know the facts. They know for sure, because it's medically certain, that life begins at conception. And yet that fact doesn't change them. It doesn't change them one bit. Facts are meaningless to spiritually dead people. They just don't convince them. I have a man that I know out in California named John Morris. Some of you may have met him. He's very active in the Institute for Creation Research. Nearly every year, John, along with a lot of other people, some of them quite famous, goes to Turkey looking for the Ark, for Noah's Ark. Gives a report every year of the struggles that he has to do that. And I asked him when I attended an institute down there one time, John, what would happen if you found the Ark? What would happen to all the unbelievers in the world? And he said, well, but they would be touched. They would have to believe. And I looked at him and said, John, I don't think that's true. I don't think one single unbeliever in the world would be convinced if you found that Ark. It would be a wonderful thing for us who do believe, because we would see it as another assurance of our faith. But would unbelievers just simply find another reason for it being there? Wouldn't they rationalize something away so that they wouldn't have to accept that the Bible was true in that respect? Of course they would. Facts do not convince spiritually dead people. Have you ever played the game, why don't you, yes, but? It's a lot of fun for one of the players. If you ever get into counseling, you'll play it a lot. And certainly as a pastor, you're going to play this game, and you're not the fun player. The game goes this way. Somebody comes to you with a problem, and they say, here's the problem, Pastor. And you say, well, why don't you? And you give a suggestion. And they say, yes, but. And then they tell you why they can't do that. Now, the way they win the game is that they have one more yes, but than you have why don't yous. And it always works that way. You can present one fact after another to people. But if they want to play this game, and many people do, and certainly spiritually dead people do, they're going to have a yes, but for every why don't you. We need something, dear friends, way beyond the facts to open the minds and the hearts of the spiritually blind. And thanks be to God, He has provided that something. Obviously, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, in his letter to the Christians at Corinth, puts it this way. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There is, to me, and I'm sure to you, a great mystery here. There is a mystery that you will ponder during all of the time you are here at this seminary, during all of your ministry. None of your professors have the answer. None of the books you read will have an answer. Why does the Spirit of God, which works through His Word, reach out and touch some people and change them where others are not changed by that spiritual contact? I do not know the answer to that, nor does anyone else. It just seems to be one of those mysteries which we cannot fathom. Why are some changed and others not? Jesus does seem to imply in this very pericope that the power to change is there. That is, that people could change if they wanted to. That's certainly implied when he says, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way. It must be that once having been touched by the Word of God, the Spirit of God within us, that we then do possess the power to change, to be different, but some do and some don't. The ultimate answer, of course, is going to await us in heaven. But in the meantime, It behooves us, as stewards of the mysteries of God, to recognize that this world is full of spiritually dead, blind people, and that overwhelming them with all kinds of facts will not do it. It will not change them. That only the power of God's Spirit can change them. And you know, knowing that gives me, and I hope you, a great sense of freedom and a great sense of power. Freedom because I know that their conversion, that their changing, does not depend on me. And that's a very freeing thing for me. And power, as I realize that with God all things are possible, and that if I am a proper vehicle for His Word, His Spirit may well change those people. It's up to Him. As the hymn we sang expresses it, I have to say, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. I don't know how to reach the world of the spiritually blind with your message, but you do know how. Jesus, pilot me, lead me, show me the way. Amen.